Introducing Andres Weil, German director of the documentary Black Box Germany, in competition at Al Peadre Film Festival. The movie has been already prized with the European Film Awards in 2001 as Best Documentary. How did you come up with this idea? And I'm particularly interested in the title you chose.
Yeah, Black Box, it means it's something like a very dark room where no light comes in. Why? First of all, the first idea of using this title is when a plane crashes, the little thing which could give at least a small hint why the plane crashes, why this catastrophe took place, is called Black Box. Secondly, it has another association in psychology. You call something which you don't know. You say, okay, it's in the black box. Mm-hmm. You have something, an input, you have an output, but what happens inside this black box you don't know. And we don't know a lot. We don't know what happened to Wolfgang Grams during his time when he was underground. A long time, period of time. It was from 1984 till 1993 when he was killed in Bad Klein. We don't have maybe some slight hints. But we don't know in which assassination he was really involved. Of course, he has some kind of responsibility because he was in the RAF during this time. But what really happened till today, we don't know. Mm. And we don't know concerning the background of the assassination of Alfred Herrhausen, the second protagonist in the movie, the director of German Bank, of Deutsche Bank. So we don't know a lot, and I thought it's a good thing to, in a way, don't make illusions for the spectator that everything in a movie, we start in the beginning with many riddles, enigmas, and in the very end the spectator knows why and because and etc. etc. The issue of this movie is another one, not to solve everything what is still in the dark, but to in a way to collect all these small fragments, what we know of these two biographies, and to follow them up, to trace them down in a way concerning Wolfgang Grams till the moment when he goes underground, and maybe to bring some light into the reasons, into his motivation, why he did it, and also concerning Alfred Herrhausen, to show not the background in the sense of journalistic investigation why he was killed, but maybe show some turning points of his life privately and in his function as director of Deutsche Bank. Mm.
And I am particularly interested in the way you worked out these two biographies in a crossed way, as you were saying.
Yeah. Well, it was a very, very hard way to do this film because it was a huge responsibility. I wanted to find a balance for both of them. And it was a challenge. Why? It was a challenge because I had a lot more material of Alfred Herrhausen because he doesn't went underground. He was the boss of Deutsche Bank, had a lot of archive materials, and it would have been very easy to make a monument out of this material because many people just admire him till today very much. And you have somebody who's with his rhetoric possibilities, capabilities, he's very strong. And Wolfgang Grams, on the other side, well, we don't have very much footage. We have some Super 8 footage, but we have no text. We really know that he had written it. Of course, we have this declaration of the RAF. But it's very tricky because in these declarations the RAF justifies the assassination, and up till now we don't know if he really was involved in this or in that assassination. So we couldn't use the texts. So what else is left? And this was a challenge to find even then a balance for both of them, just to Not only that, I look at my watch, say, okay, this guy has 46 minutes and the other one at the moment has 48. We have to balance and everybody has to get 47 minutes. But on an emotional level, it means on a level that sometimes the spectators can identify and can find something like maybe even sympathy for both of them. But also finding moments where somebody, as a spectator, thinks, "Oh, this guy, no, it never would get my friend." So, in this going back and forth to the closeness of a character, this was very hard to find in a sense of a balance.
Mm-hmm. And I know the movie has been very popular in Germany, and that most of the young people saw the film. Why do you think they were so interested in this documentary?
Well, in a way, it's something like a renaissance of the subject of the RAF. Many reasons, I think, for it. First of all, it's a lack of heroes at the present situation, a lack of political heroes, and sometimes I considered it maybe also a little bit naive that people like Wolfgang Grams or Andreas Bader, the first generation of the RAF, even more with Ulrike Meinhof on his side, that also young people just said, well, they did something. They wanted to give their lives for a political change. So it doesn't matter by what means they did it, because they did it. And this, I think this was one of the reasons why many people, many young spectators were just attracted to know more about the RAF, to deal with this myth and to look what is behind. And I think second reason, it has something to do with globalization and things happening in Genoa and Gothenburg and Seattle. Somebody told me, a spectator, I think this is like a crucial issue what he said. He told me, well, in these years of the 70s and 80s, you had a clear image who is the enemy. That means they a clear front line. Here on the one side, hand side, there are the liberation movements, Third World, and in the beginning of the 70s, even Vietnam, the Viet Cong. And on this side, you find the Brigata Rossa in Italy, and you will find the RAF in Germany, and Action Direct, and in France, and even in Japan. So you have a close front line. And after 1989, when the wall in Berlin came down as a symbol for the communist efforts to build something like a counterforce against this Western imperialism, after this breakdown, all these liberation movements, and maybe just Cuba is left, but all the states and liberation movements, it's very hard because they fall apart or they just turn to be nationalistic. And so this clear front is gone. And somebody told me, if we make a small action in one country, for example Germany, we occupy industrial complex, what is the effect? The effect is that in another country, maybe in Mexico, Nicaragua, they just put another industry complex, and they get even cheaper workers, and they exploit them even more than they do in Germany. So it's always the image, if we do something here, it's just taking the feast and putting it into the water, and the effect is zero. And then to see people who, by just using violence, at least in the idea, they could change something, they had this clear front, and they could make people feel insecure, and they could maybe with other people together, nuclear power plant was not constructed because it was obstructed the whole time by many, many people, building up a huge front from people in the peaceful people, militant people, and the RAF. So this was the idea, really, to change something. And I think Coming back to the movie, maybe this was one of the reasons why young people wanted to know more about this period of time, about the 70s and 80s.
And since you said before, you cited of this phenomenon that was spread all over Europe, do you think that your documentary could have been done with other two characters, not German, maybe Italian, in Italy?
Yeah, of course, of course. I was very interested. I really liked two books, interview books, very much. Renato Curcio and Moretti. Both are were members of Brigata Rosse. And of course, I think maybe, because it could have been even stronger, because Moretti was, I think 5 years ago, the first time in this interview book, he was talking about his involvement, his personal involvement on the killing of Aldo Moro. He said he was the guy who shot him. So you have somebody in comparison to Germany, where it's really a black box. In Italy, you have somebody who takes responsibility for a special assassination. And I think that's another level of coming to terms with this period of time, because you have somebody who takes responsibility. And I think this is a very big challenge, and I think not only on Aldo Moro, but it's maybe also the chance in Italy, and you have a better chance that somebody here could do it, a similar film like Black Box Germany.
And I saw you worked a lot on the changement of the characters, how they change, especially the banker. And I wanted to know how much it does your graduation in psychology help you out in this way on focusing on the characters?
Well, it's a difficult question, because I studied psychology, but it's in a way it was very academic. Maybe the only thing what helped sometimes in this process of shooting, dealing with the protagonist, it's I'm confronted with a lot of emotions, sometimes positive emotion, that people feel attracted or like the way we talk, and this is, in a way, it's a trap, because I'm not their friend. I'm the director who comes from outside. It's not a therapy. And the other side of the coin is that people get disappointed. They feel abused, mistreated in a way, because in the very end they have a film, not a therapy. And the film goes public, and 100,000 of people watch them, even in small scenes on television, or everybody speaking about them. They're private, a very intimate part of life. So in a way, I knew, even if people first sometimes hate me and just call me names and say they are pissed off by everything. So I know it's not me as a person. It's me as this, as a role, as a director, and I have to stand it. And after this thunderstorm, we will have maybe a nice time again. But it's always like a roller coaster, this thing on the fair, which is running very quickly, and suddenly you get stopped, and your teeth are bloody, and the next time you enjoy it going up and down, so in this sense it was helpful. But I don't think it's a necessity to study psychology to make a film on an issue like that. It's not necessary. I think the only thing what is necessary to show that the people, that it's a real interest. It's not just to make a movie. I want to understand something. I want to know something. Me as Andres, not me as a director. And even if we stop this project, I'm still interested to know more when it's finished afterwards. So the problem is maybe the economy of time, because after the film is finished, the work goes on, because people are upset, angry, anxious, outrageous. And so I still have to be in contact with them. They call me at night or whenever. So,
how did they actually react to the documentary? Were they happy about it?
Well, very different. First of all, the parents of Wolfgang were very much concerned, especially there's one scene in the film concerning the membership of the father of Wolfgang in the Waffen-SS.
Mm.
And of course he was so anxious and nervous and edgy, being stigmatized as SS father, and well, look, this is the Nazi guy, and it's a clear reaction that the son becomes a terrorist. So they were very much afraid about this, and I had to convince him day after day before the film had his release, the first release in Germany. You have to stand it, you have to take it, you don't get stigmatized. And he was so much afraid. He came to Berlin to the premiere, and many people wanted to photograph him and his wife, and we had bodyguards to keep the photographers away. But he was there, and in the very end, he got a big applause and a warm applause. I was standing in front of the audience, and I said, I got the first applause, and I said, well, it's not, it, of course it's my work, but the people who really did it are Traudl Herrhausen and the parents of Wolfgang. So please turn the applause to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for something like standing ovations and for them for minutes. And I think that was something like the breakthrough for them.
Mm-hmm.
Traudl Herrhausen had more problems with the film because she disliked some scenes very much, especially the nightclub scene. But she always told me, well, it's not the film I expected on my husband, because I miss very important moments, his character, scenes of his life. It's your image of my husband, and of course it's different, my image and her image. But her conclusion was anyway that she said, even if it's not the film on my husband I wanted to get, it's the best film on the German biography I ever saw of the 70s and 80s. So I say I accepted this film, even if it's not the product I wanted to have.
Mm. Did you have any problems in doing this documentary? I mean, political problems about saying something that should have not been said?
Well, not in the sense of censorship, that I tried to make the film as I thought as it should be done. And of course I was afraid all the time till the very last moment that we get a so-called inhibition by the judge, that somebody tried to file a lawsuit against the movie, interim injunction you call it. And I remember the day of the premiere. I went in the morning to Deutsche Bank, and this was the first time it was shown to them. And they were very upset because they didn't know that I put Wolfgang Grams in the film on a 50% level.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I'm also interested in showing the background, who could kill him, telling some about the RAF, but I never said it was balanced 50-50. So they read it out from the press, and they were so edgy and upset. And then they saw the film, and in a way they were overwhelmed, and they accepted it. Even they knew that something maybe between the lines is shown in another way that they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, maybe it was also good luck that everybody who was in the film, the very end, nobody went to a lawyer, nobody tried to file this interim injunction. We could show it as it was intended, and this was really a big relief. I remember that the first second in the release of the film during the premiere, it was the first time I could just breathe.
Mm.
Before, it was all the time this tension. Because if you work for something more than 4 years, and then it will be stopped by an idiot.
Yeah.
And it can take years. It really can take more than 45 years to show it then. And maybe in a form which has nothing to do with my film, because some scenes has to be eliminated. And it was really a harsh trip.
And last question, what about your next project? Do you have any? Will it be a documentary, a fiction?
Well, there are two projects. One is a fiction film, but I'm always very slowly. I work for a long time on the screenplay, and it will take more than 3 or 4 years. This is one project, but I try to transfer the experience out of my documentaries. I want to make a very authentic fiction film with an intense story, but to transfer also political contents. And this is a challenge. Maybe it's now easier after the 11th of September, because it's more present and people don't like so much anymore this shallow melodrama or comedy. But this is one project, and the other project is a long-term documentary. I work on it more than 5 years now, and I have to finish it maybe next year. It's on actor students. I'm with them from the beginning of an actor school till the first start in the professional start in theater, television, and cinema. And it's not only a film on acting, it's a film on maybe coming of age, what will happen out of all these dreams they had at the age of 17, 18, and how they are changed. And so we will see. Totally different. It's not, because all the other films are so existential, on the Holocaust, on suicide, mm-hmm. on terrorism. So I did it in a way to relax, but it was even more a hard job to do this film, because of course people are full of vanity, and they only want to get filmed when they have a success. But what about when they fail? Keep the camera away. So it was even more hard sometimes to shoot with them as to shoot in a prison of Birgit Hogefeld, which I not did, but I tried. So
good luck.